if they're interchangeable. It doesn't seem difficult for me to see. Passion seems a lot wider. Greed seems a bit... I mean, how is... If I'm passionate about something, how am I greedy about something? If I'm passionate about Buddhism, how am I greedy about Buddhism?
Well, they're not exactly the same word. So that raga is the word for passion. And so sometimes those three are raga, dosa, and moha, like in the fire sermon. And our English word rage is related to raga. And then sometimes it's loba, dosa, and moha in different suttas, different texts. So that that's why he said sort of passion, then in brackets, greed, so that they are not represented in exactly the same list, you know, everywhere. So it's not saying that they're synonymous. Looking at the etymology of the words, raga has a tone of agitation, like English word rage, and sort of that. And loba comes from the root lub, which means stick, which is something which is sticky. And so that the mind stuck to something or attached to something. So they've got different tones, my limited understanding of Pali. They've got slightly different tones to them, but I would say they're not exactly the same things, just that he's speaking about that domain and sort of quoting a number of different things and lumping them together, if that makes sense.
So it's up to us to individually. If we can, I mean, I relate more to rage and passion than I do to greed. Okay, if I just make my three poisons?
Your three fires. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the teachings are for the humans, so that using the capacity to reflect. And so it can be that some phraseology just doesn't mean anything to us or it doesn't really connect, but another way of phrasing things does. And so that... Oh, yeah, just like you say, I can relate to rage, but I can't relate to greed so much. But then using that as a way of exploring our own conditioning, our own habits, is I would say that's a skillful use of the teachings. And that the different frameworks, like the Buddha used a lot of different ways of phrasing things, like the first three discourses, the Dhammacakka Sutta, it forms things in terms of the Four Noble Truths in the middle way, and that is so one framework that he uses. Then the Anattalakkhana Sutta, the second discourse, he forms things in terms of, you know, five khandhas and anicca, dukkha, anatta. And then the third discourse, he uses a different format of the six senses and raga, dosa, and moha. So he uses all sorts of different formats, and even with those very early teachings. And so I feel it's a skillful and appropriate use of the teachings where things really sort of connect with our own experience. Go, oh yeah, now we're talking. Yeah, that is how the teaching is best applied. It's not like one expression that should apply to everybody in all circumstances, but rather taking in the teachings and, you know, absorbing them, reflecting on them, and then the ones that really seem to match your own experience and really are a close fit, talking about that which is really sort of meaningful and is a good fit for your own understanding, your own experience. Well, that's the track to use. So for some people, they might not be able to relate to anicca, dukkha, anatta and the five khandhas, but the Four Noble Truths. Ah, now that's far more. Yeah, I can relate to that. Or, you know, there are many and various different ways of speaking that you find in the teaching.